the on-air light lit up, so it's time for us to go, folks. Welcome to the show. That's right, you got the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show coming to you once again live on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer, from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. And once again, please don't forget, for the very best in mercury free dental care, call my dentist, Dr. James E. Hardy, at 407-678-3399. I am Christopher Hart. Once again, in the studio with me tonight is union boss, chairman of the board, Mike McBath.
Well, Chris, you joined me last night at another one of our meetings.
Yeah, we'll go over the minutes of the meeting here.
I still have a headache from the minutes.
We'll go over those minutes here in just a moment. Nick LoCicero is back on the bridge, so we are once again in good hands. His capable fingers are on the controls, so give us a call at 407-774-8255 if you want to be a part of the show today. And we have our resident scientist in studio with us today. Of course, that would be John L. Casey, and he has got some big, really, really, really big news, don't you, John?
Yes, indeed.
And he's going to break it right here on the show here shortly, so you'll certainly want to stick around for that. And we got a whole lot to talk about, and only a couple hours to do it, so we'll get right into it. But, yeah, first of all, last night, over at Harry Buffalo's downtown, the old Rosie O'Grady's
now
building.
That's on the corner of Church Street. Was I in the right place?
Oh, you were. You
no,
were.
It was the corner of Church Street, right?
Yeah, that was the heart of Church Street, the whole Church Street market there.
That's exactly
the day,
right.
You know, Rosie
Long
O'Grady's.
Ago, I remember that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And that place used to really rock. And somewhat sad how there's been a degree of deterioration. I noticed right beside Harry Buffalo's, that building was for rent. You know, I mean, right next door to it.
Yeah, that's right. It's been an area that since downtown Disney opened and mm-hmm. Universal Boardwalk and all that, it really took a lot of business away from that particular spot, because that was a tourist haven. The buses would come in and unload, you know, dozens of people every night. And it dried up basically overnight. But
I remember the Florida Blazers long ago in the World Football League. We used to have parties there, you know, at Rosie's. And place was always packed to the rafters, and it was probably the most unique entertainment place in Central Florida at the time.
Speaking of the Blazers, we're going to have one of the Blazers on
that's
the show
exactly
a little
right.
later on. Old Don Ratliff's going to join us for a few minutes. Before we get to John L. Casey, though, let's talk a little market stuff, Mike. The market is going haywire.
Well, you know, like we always said, when it's bad, it's good, and when it's good, it's bad, and it's starting to look bad. You know, I'm watching it today, and I noticed again earlier that the Shanghai market, which a lot of people were watching very closely, was down about 3.4%. So for the week, it was probably down so far, probably down to 10%. That's a big, big hit. And like the day at 3.4, our market got whacked big time the day, about 358 points. And that was a little bit less than 2%, but that shows you how bad the Chinese market is. But the point is, we also dropped below 17,000 for the first time, you know, and we ended up, I think, around 16,992. And as we always talk about, as I've always forewarned when people are trying to guess interest rates, you know, when somebody makes a statement, all you do is look at the 10-year Treasury. You know, everybody's saying, will the Fed raise the rates in September? Well, the 10-year Treasury has dropped now to 2.07. So the answer to that is I doubt they're going to raise it, because just a couple of days ago it was 2.22. So it sounds like it's infinitesimally small, but it's not. And so I think you're not going to see another raise. But the other thing to keep in mind, oil hit a new low again today. Then it ricocheted off the low. But, you know, the thing with oil, somebody always says, gee, should I participate in the oil energy sector either through stocks or, you know, ETFs or mutual funds, whatever. But, you know, always keep in mind when you jump in at this level, it could be very cheap relative to where oil's been. But it's like catching a falling knife. Mm-hmm. You know, you could get cut up a little bit before the money returns to you and a big profit. But I would say for those who have a stomach for a degree of risk, it's starting to look awful attractive.
And we start to nibble at this
point. And I think, too, you'll see eventually Russia And Saudi Arabia began to cut some of their production because they're producing just about at maximum capacity. One of their purposes was to sort of shut down our shale program.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality of it is, yes, it's hurt some. But it is a case that they're going to have to probably temper it with all the Iranian oil from that great deal Mr. Zero did for us or is trying to do for us. I hope we block in Congress, you know, because Iran's going to be able to drop that into the marketplace too.
Yeah.
So we'll see. It's, again, the market's always a fun trip every day for those who enjoy trauma.
Well, you know, I never enjoyed the success that you did, but I did do a little investing of my own. And I invested in oil companies back in the late 90s and early 2000s. And I chipped away and chipped away, and for many years it didn't pay me a dime. But when it did pay, buddy,
payday,
it paid for this show.
Yeah,
I'm literally speaking, that money that I made in the market,
Chris,
has paid for this show.
I used to tell them
it's now all gone though.
I used to tell my clients that I could always make them a small fortune if I started with a large
one. Right.
but it is a case. That area has to be tempting.
But especially with what's looking ahead. And we just happen to have John L. Casey in the studio with us, right? The man with this.
I know, based upon John's forecast, I better buy up all the oil I can get right now.
Well, I wanted to ask John, did you hear about what George, Mr. Peabody Soros did?
Oh, that makes me sick.
What's his latest?
I've decided we're going to call him Mr. Peabody because it was revealed yesterday that earlier this year he bought like 1 million shares of Peabody Coal. And what was the other coal company that he bought into?
It was Peabody and Archer.
Archer Coal, two of the biggest coal producers in the world.
What he did, it was a case that this is a guy that has preached green energy. He is actually Obama's funder. I mean, this is Obama's probably biggest contributor. And the real story is Obama's a puppet for this guy who is a devout communist, a devout socialist. I guess you correlate somewhat together. And this guy had done everything he can to badmouth the coal industry because of he was against fossil fuels, et cetera.
Sure.
Well, you know what happens? He's caused the laying off of thousands and thousands of jobs, a closing down of utilities. And wait till the people wait till they get their bills this coming Christmas, and you know, and then he turns around when the coal stocks have collapsed. Peabody was at 90. And I think it got down to 1, 2, or 3, and he bought it somewhere in that range. Wait a second. Where's your conviction? I thought you were a guy against fossil fuels.
Well, but let's examine this and what he's done and why he has done it. And that'll bring me back to John. First of all, he's a very powerful man in the sense that he has billions of dollars, right? And
right.
He has, in essence, manipulated the market, has he not?
I would say in his own way, yes.
And now he has taken advantage of what he has done to the coal industry. He has basically not destroyed it, but destroyed
the helped it along.
He really reduced the value of the companies, knowing in the end we're still going to have coal, aren't we, John L. Casey, and a whole lot more than we're digging out of the ground right now.
Absolutely. Despite the agreement with the Chinese, both the Chinese and India are setting up new coal companies every week, coal-fired power plants every week. They will soon be buying most of the coal produced on this planet, and they will be producing more greenhouse gas emissions, not that those are important, but certainly in violation of what the president's trying to do.
But not only that, but I can foresee a day when a lot of these coal-powered plants that we're shutting down now are going to have to be reopened because of the energy demand.
And the energy demand for the future is going to be quite different than what people think it will be based on our research at the Space and Science Research Corporation, which shows to a high degree of probability that we're heading into a potentially dangerous coal climate.
See, what happens, Chris, you think about this because of this shutdown. You know, you talk about the poor. You know, this is, I'm a liberal man. This is fossil fuel. Well, you know, look at your own utility bill Right, down here in Orlando. I can't even believe how high the utility bills are. Well, imagine these people living in the Northeast. Now, I don't mind the people in Washington's utility bill going to $5,000 a month. You know, well, but down here, give me a break.
Well, we have to admit, at least in this point, Barack Obama was truthful with us. He told us he wanted to destroy the coal industry.
Yeah.
And he told us that power bills, utility bills, would necessarily have to go through the roof, would skyrocket.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Skyrocket.
And that's what exactly he is causing and Soros is causing. But Soros is once again, if it were not for the fact that he helped destroy the coal market,
right,
and now has made it very cheap, it would be a smart investment that he actually has now made in the coal businesses.
Right.
Because those businesses are going to have to exist whether the greenies like it or not. And he knows that. He knows that because of that, the value is going to turn around and it's going to go way back up. And those stocks that he bought for less than $5 a share, eventually he'll be able to sell for 5 or 10 or who knows how many times.
Actually,
as much.
Actually, without even looking at the price today, I'm going to bet since his announcement, because he knows that people follow him because it's a huge, with billions of dollars, I'll bet you the stock values have already doubled without even looking at it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, just because George Soros, but if they understood the character of this guy, I don't think, I would never buy anything associated with the guy. I don't care if it costs me money. I'm not going to play with people like that.
Well, the irony is that for all of the Wall Street protesters and the Bernie Sanders followers and everything, you know, of course, he's one of their heroes.
Oh, of course.
He is the worst example of capitalism ever there is because he accumulates great amounts of capital and uses it to destroy businesses and economies and currencies so that he can make more money.
Right.
And that's what it's all about.
He has literally just about folded a couple countries playing currencies.
Yeah.
I mean, this is not a wonderful guy in any respect. Yeah, he's certainly not Don Trump, I'll tell you that.
Sure enough. All right, let's go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we got some big news from John L. Casey. You're not going to want to miss this, so please stay with us, the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. Comes John L. Casey doing the moonwalk over to the microphone here. Welcome back to the show, folks. Many of you have been listening to the show long enough to know John L. Casey. John L., of course, is the founder of the Space and Science Research Corp. And congratulations is in store for him, and I'll let him explain why. But congratulations, John L., job well done, so to speak. Tell us what you got going on.
Thank you very much, Chris. The August the 10th, we sent out an email and a press release announcing that after 8 long, hard years of effort, the Space and Science Research Corporation has accomplished its mission and is now closing the doors. And I personally will be transitioning to a new endeavor. But I must tell you that, again, after 8 years starting as a lone voice in the wilderness, things have really turned around. Things have changed quite a bit. And as we announced, we have gone from obscurity with no one at a national level talking about the new cold climate to now a totally different environment where many people are telling the truth about this greenhouse gas theory, the UN, the president's clean power and climate action plan, and how they are opposite of Mother Nature and what we're learning scientifically about climate variation. All of the things that I set out to do back in early 2007 have now been achieved. A lot of things and a lot of scientists are now coming forward to say what's really happening. The truth is finally getting out. And as a result of that, as a result of the success of my book, Dark Winter, which during the first week in August was the number one top-selling climate book on Amazon.com in the climate category, out of 100 climate books, by the way.
Congratulations.
And now the TV documentary, thanks to Newsmax Media, has been seen by millions of people. So all of these things, when considered, says that, yes, indeed, we did finally reach the goal of getting everyone, our government and our people, aware it's time to get ready for the new cold climate.
Does this mean no more climate status reports?
Well, that's correct. One of the things that's going away are the climate status reports. The Global Climate Status Report has been a very detailed and thorough and honest treatment of what the Earth's climate really has been. But in the past climate reports, for those who were picking them up off our website, they have in fact already seen much of the major conclusions and much of the science behind the future of our climate on the planet in one of two scenarios, either in the Dalton-class cold minimum or the Little Ice Age, as the Russians have been saying. We're going to see one or two of those, one or the other. And we're also going to see the record earthquakes and volcanic activity, which we also had in the most recent climate report. So all of the major predictions have already been made. It's just a question of clicking them off as they come forward.
Well, when I first saw your email, I started to email you back. But to be honest with you, I didn't know whether I should say congratulations or aw, you know what. Because those are great reports, very meticulous the way you did them. I certainly am going to miss them. But having said that, what are you going to do now?
Well, I have a new company, a one-man consulting operation. It's called Veritense Corporation. It's derived from two root words, veritas, meaning true, and science. True science is what we're going to be pursuing. I have long appreciated, of course, the many scientists and experts that joined with me at the Space and Science Research Corporation. But in my new role as head of Veritense Corporation, I will be able to be more vocal, more public, and harder on those who are not telling the truth about climate science. And as well, I'll be able to get back to my roots and start talking about what we need to do with our space program.
So in other words, you're sort of freeing yourself up.
Absolutely. It's been a great run with the climate science research. I'll still be very active in climate science from an opinion standpoint and a motivational and advocacy standpoint. But now I am free to do other things that I've wanted to do for a long time. For example, in the National Space Policy area, where I have some specific experience, I have really been unable to do anything with that for 7 years now. 8 years because I've been focused on this very important message and mission of telling people about the new cold climate. But now I can do it.
But no mistake here, you still intend to be quite outspoken, actually even more outspoken on these issues now.
Oh, very much so. Thank you for clarifying that. When you're running a climate research organization with international scientists tied to you, you're really kind of obligated to work within a certain boundary of propriety and disclosure and opinion.
Are you trying to say I wouldn't fit in that environment?
I'm moving very close to you is what
this frees you up from that.
And Mike McBath especially.
Yeah. John, I was just curious because politics is so much of the industry you're in. Are you going to get into politics? Somebody mentioned you might become an Al Gore supporter.
I don't think so. Again, even there, I was really only able to talk about Al Gore and the president's program and the Soroses of the world, only in a peripheral sense. Now I can go head-to-head confronting everything they're doing that is not true, that is not good science, and be much more vocal about it. So I'm going to be much freer and much more vocal.
John, you remember the carbon credit fraud that Al Gore was trying to pull
absolutely.
Off with his buddies. I mean,
absolutely.
To think that this guy would even have the audacity to try to run for public office, but then Hillary's running. What's wrong with me?
Yeah,
I should know
right.
that.
That's
you
right.
Know?
Quick, can people still go to your old website to get the book or Newsmax? How can people get the book other than Amazon, your book Dark Winter?
Dark Winter is my book, and I have authorization from the publisher to continue to sell that book. I will have a page at the new Veritense website when it's set up within the next 2 weeks or so.
Okay.
And they will be able to get an autographed book from me if they want to do it. They can still go to Amazon and get the book, or still go to Newsmax Media and get the book. But I'll have that set up as well.
Okay. All right. Once again, the book is called Dark Winter, and it's very informative, and it really does explain that what we are entering in is to a cold weather pattern that is the natural cycle of things. And we'll talk more about it on the other side of this break. Please do not go away. All right. Welcome back to the show, folks. I am Christopher Hart, along with Michael McBath and John L. Casey. We're coming to you live. We're the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. And John has just announced on our show that the Space and Science Research Corporation has fulfilled its goal, and that is to bring the attention to the world that of the natural cycles that we experience here on Earth because of the natural cycles that occur on the sun, and that we are preparing to, actually, we're already entering into a cold cycle here. The only question is how cold. And he is now focusing on a new endeavor called Veritense, which is a combination of science and veritas, the pursuit of truth through scientific methodology. And he has just calmed my fears by saying he's going to continue to be on the show, and I hope be a bigger presence on the show.
Love to.
Because in essence, what he is trying to do here is broaden his horizons, so to speak. And now that a lot of people have basically have picked up your research and are carrying on with your research,
that's
correct?
Correct, yes.
So it kind of was getting to be a bit redundant, but you blazed the path. When you first made that first press release and the call, was it 2007?
Right, April and May of 2007. I was the first to notify the White House, the mainstream media, and other agencies of the U.S. government that global warming was going to end within 3 years and a new cold era was going to begin. It actually ended the following year, and we had a TV news conference and announced it.
All right. Well, I heard earlier today that supposedly July was the hottest month ever, and El Nino pattern in the Pacific is evidently due to Pacific warming. Some would say that's proof that your theories are all just a bunch of hokum.
I know, and I hear that a lot from my liberal friends. Here's the reality.
All you can say,
all two of them. yeah, right.
I better email one. I think the other's fallen off the web.
Right. That's right.
Just tell them wait and see, right?
Seriously, the facts are that we still have, on average, 18 years without any growth in global warming. So that means that for most of the time, our government, the United Nations, and world leaders have been pulling out their hair, worrying over greenhouse gas emissions to curb global warming. There actually wasn't any at all. Now, more so, the warmth that we have had in 2014-2015 was not record warmth. The president said 2014 was the warmest year on record. It absolutely was not. He was not telling the truth.
Right.
I'm sure people are surprised to hear that.
Oh, yeah.
Especially
your doctor.
Mike McBath is very surprised to hear that.
But, I'm shocked.
But
thank you.
For years,
get the defibrillators, right?
For years, we've heard from NOAA that this year, this summer, it's going to be the hottest, is the hottest on record, and it always turns out not to be the case. That's why in the last Global Climate Status Report, one of the many things that we announced was that we no longer are going to use NOAA's climate data. It has now been manipulated so badly that we're seeing between 168 and 274% variance between the actual NOAA data and the satellite data, which is far more reliable and far more accurate. So, again, a lot of things we hear in the media, it loves to tell the people what the government wants them to tell the people, instead of the truth. We get all this propaganda. And that's what's been happening year after year, especially the closer we get to this December Paris climate conference, where President Obama will be crowned king of climate and savior of the planet, getting rid of greenhouse gases.
You know what, John, sometimes it seems so difficult for your case because we all know the media really literally knows nothing about climate change other than what they're constantly pelted with out of the government. You know, I don't think they're out there reading your book, and I don't think they're out there following you, you know, in the sense that they get so much from all the people who have a vested interest. You know, such a difficult road to climb. And but the reality of it is, I, you know, from the, my reading and everything, I have to go along with, particularly the last 17, 18 years, it seems to me, like you said, it hasn't moved an inch.
Hasn't moved. You know, my daughters kind of grew up here in Florida when I moved mm-hmm. in from the shuttle program out in California. We moved to Orlando, and we went to Lido Beach in Sarasota, one of our favorite places to take the kids. Well, of course, they're grown up, got their own families now. But, you know, I keep going back there, take the wife back. That ocean is right where we
were. Yeah, it seems like
this. Well, it hasn't swallowed up Sarasota yet.
John, it's the same area I used to throw the beer cans into. The same cans are sitting there, and they haven't floated away.
Oh, gosh. Well, the El Nino in the Pacific.
Let's talk about El Nino.
Well, first of all, the Atlantic has already cooled down significantly.
That's correct.
And that's why we're not seeing very many hurricanes.
That's correct.
And that is the proof it's cool.
Yeah,
the
peak, again, and this is another amazing and very satisfying scientific reinforcement of the relational cycle theory. We predicted that the peak of global warming was going to be between 2007-2010, and at that time, we had just passed the peak of hurricanes. We had the worst 2004, 5, and 6 worst hurricanes we ever had.
Katrina just celebrated a 10-year anniversary.
That's right. And what happened? All of a sudden, we passed the peak of global heating by the sun, and hurricanes started to nosedive, did they not? And we've had very few, relatively speaking, since then. And, again, it's all part of natural cycles and proves the sun's influence on climate, not mankind. The El Nino, like the hurricane drop-off, is all because of cooling Atlantic waters. Without the warm waters that we saw in 2004, 5, and 6, we're seeing diminished intensity, diminished number. And we also have the added effect of an El Nino in the Pacific, which knocks off the top of these developing storms in the Atlantic. By the process of heating up and moving faster, the upper air flows. So once they do start, they get decimated by the El Nino. So both effects, cooling Atlantic waters and the high velocity, high altitude winds from the El Nino in the Pacific, are going to really probably give us one of the lowest, if not the lowest, cycle of hurricanes this year.
And they keep adjusting the number down as their prediction as the season goes along.
Oh, yeah. Well, NOAA's fundamentally changed how they predict hurricanes. They realized a few years back that they were no good at it, that they were routinely way off.
Right.
And, in fact, I did a demonstration where I picked numbers out of a hat and beat NOAA consistently on hurricane prediction.
Yeah.
This is some years ago. Mm-hmm. But what they decided to do was give a range of estimates for the numbers of hurricanes and the intensities. Well, if you look at their range, it's preposterously large. So they can never be wrong with these large ranges of prediction.
Somewhere between 1 and 100.
I was going to say, John, is there a betting line or something in Las Vegas on hurricanes? I'll give you 2-1 that there's 10 or less. Actually, one good question I did want to ask you was, on earthquakes, you know, you sounded like the earthquakes are sort of leaking east. And, last time you talked about, what is it, Kentucky or some areas we expect?
Oh, the New Madrid seismic zone.
That sort of surprised me a great deal.
Well, it is a surprise because the establishment science and the U.S. Geological Service that rules with an iron fist anyone that thinks they can predict earthquakes has so misled the people that we're now in a state of shock and chaos when it's going to come. They don't realize, and that's why we put it in the last climate report, the very strong correlation between these deep solar cold eras and the worst earthquakes and worst volcanoes.
Right.
This is such a very high reliability prediction of major earthquakes and volcanoes worldwide that everyone needs to pay attention to. Let me give you an example. In the New Madrid zone, which we documented in the Global Climate Status Report, that Until Tomorrow at 5 is still available on the SSRC website.
Okay.
We disclosed that the worst earthquakes in the New Madrid area occur only since the year 1400, only when we have a solar hibernation, like we have predicted.
And which is what we're entering into
now. We're now entering into it. Four of the last five major, well, all four of the last major earthquake periods to hit the New Madrid have occurred during the solar hibernation. We're entering the next one. So what do you think's going to happen? Let me give you an example, if I may, because you know, all this is science and it's a little tough to relate to. Let's assume you read in the newspaper that at a particular intersection, the first week in December in every year, a dump truck goes through the intersection, runs the red light, and kills someone. And it's happened 4 years in a row. Well, now here you are in your car. It's the first week in December. You're going to the same dangerous intersection, and you see coming from another angle a speeding dump truck. What are you going to do?
That depends on if you're a conservative or a liberal, right? If you're a liberal, you just keep going on.
Well, that's the reliability we're talking about. That's how certain this is.
Okay, and you say tomorrow until 5 o'clock tomorrow, people can go to spaceandscience.net and get one of the last Space and Science Research Corporation's climate status reports.
Pick up a little history, pick up a little science, and a very serious warning about earthquakes. Get
on
that climate
earthquake
report.
Issue again, what states do you feel they would be in on the eastern side of the country? Because I got to make sure if I got to not only hurricane-proof my house, but maybe earthquake-proof my house. No. But actually, what states were you thinking?
There are three major.
That's what I wanted to know.
Three or four major fault zones. The first one on the East Coast is South Carolina. Remarkably, South Carolina is one of the more high-risk earthquake zones in the U.S.
Well, that is. I mean,
and it's just, it just is. They've had this zone. They've had major quakes that have devastated Charleston before. Many of the old historic buildings
actually, you're right. That's
in
right.
Charleston have been reinforced with iron and steelwork to keep them from collapsing when the next one hits, and the next one will hit. And if you look at these solar hibernation cycles, they're very much in sync in the South Carolina fault as well as the New Madrid fault. Now, in California, we have a couple different situations. We have, of course, the San Andreas that runs up to San Francisco and from L.A. up to San Francisco. It actually starts down in Baja.
Oops.
But we also have the Cascadia subduction zone, which is a far worse situation. The last time the Cascadia subduction zone, which covers the area off of Oregon and Northern California and Washington State, erupted was in the year 1700 at the bottom of a major solar hibernation.
All right. Let's go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we have John on the line. John, stay with us. We'll take your question for John L. as soon as we come back from this short break. Once again, I highly suggest you get your last copy.
This could have great value, Chris, down the road.
I tell you, I'm a treasure.
This could be a collector's item.
These are great reports, and I'm going to miss them. But nonetheless, John's going to bigger and better things. But go to spaceandscience.net and get the climate status report. You have until 5 o'clock tomorrow, and no more. Or will you be able to get it? You'll still be able to get John's book, just not the reports. Okay, we'll be right back. Okay, welcome back to the show. We got more news from John L. Casey here in just a moment. But John has been holding on the line to ask John L. a question, so let's go right to John. Thank you for calling tonight, John. Appreciate you
hey,
being
fellas.
Out there.
How are you doing there?
Excellent.
Hey, you know, I was hearing about the black balls that they've been dropping into those lakes, those little balls they've been putting into the lakes in California to slow down the evaporation. In my mind, I'm thinking, why black? Doesn't that absorb heat? And now they've discovered that it's actually accelerating evaporation, and it is actually causing another condition with the bacteria out there.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, they're going to be trapping nasty little critters in the water there, too.
That was actually in the paper, right, John?
Yeah.
Well, I've got it online, and my brother, who lives in California, he was the one that first told me about this situation, and they spent over $34 million, and all I could think was, as my dad always used to say, there's always a motive and there's always a money trail, And I'm thinking they must have had some Chinese ball maker with a lot of inventory.
It was probably the EPA.
No, you see, McDonald's is closing up their children's play
places. I know, they're trying to get rid of all the balls. You know, right. I remember we used to scrub down the slide and fall into them, right?
John L., go ahead.
This is so reminiscent of the period when we had the last global cooling scare back in the 70s, when scientists were talking about flying large numbers of aircraft over the Arctic and dumping black carbon soot to absorb the heat and make the planet warmer and melt the ice in the Arctic. This is another game. It's another toy of geoengineering that the same cast of characters that brought us the myth of man-made global warming have come up with. I suspect that the black ball manufacturer is probably a major donor to the president's reelection campaign a few years ago.
Or Jerry Brown's or someone.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it ultimately will end up that way.
Yeah, I know. But I thought the same thing that John was talking about when I saw that. I saw it on One American News.
Right.
And they were pouring these little, I guess they were smaller than a golf ball, it looked like.
Right.
Yeah, like a jawbreaker or something. And they were just covering the surface of this giant reservoir. And they were all black. And I'm thinking, the stupid idiots, the balls are going to warm up.
Black absorbs heat.
Right. So
increases evaporation.
Yeah.
What a mistake, though. Millions and millions of dollars. I mean, couldn't have somebody with some degree of logic go, hey, don't you think the black's the wrong color?
Well, of course, it might make better sense to, instead of pumping the fresh water from Northern California into San Francisco Bay, to build some pipes and pump it on down to the southern part of the state. But we can't do that because some insect might be affected by it.
One other thing, though, how come they never convert salt water to fresh water in California? Because, you know, I was down the Cayman Islands. The entire Cayman Islands is primarily fed from the conversion plants from salt to fresh.
I'm glad you brought this issue up. You know, we have a planet 71% covered with very deep oceans. We do not have a water shortage on our planet. We have a water distribution problem on our planet. And it's easily solved, as the Saudis and other Middle Eastern countries have known for years, and that have established desalinization plants that solve any potential water shortage problem. We don't do that on the West Coast, because politically there were other remedies that the liberal community out there wanted to pursue first.
I heard one liberal's response to that was, though, if we take too much salt out of the oceans, we'll change the balance.
Right.
God almighty, what an idiot.
It's probably very good they couldn't buy salt and pepper or something.
Right.
That shows the lack of science, similar to the congressional representative who asked if the islands in the Pacific might tip over.
Unbelievable?
Unbelievable.
That's one of your representatives, John.
Yep. And actually, he's back in the news. I think he's part of the Black Lives Matter movement or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, John, did we answer your question?
Yeah, I had another question to ask, John.
Go ahead.
You know, I grew up in Southern California. I've experienced all the major earthquakes out there. The Northridge earthquake, the Simi Valley earthquake, just a whole lot of them.
2004 Parkfield, yeah,
and
sure.
Best of my recollection, they usually occur like during the rainy season or the onset of the rainy season. And I'm thinking, with a prolonged drought where, geologically speaking, I guess, the land really starts to dry up, because I think the soil mix out there is pretty much clay. And so you get these real deep fissures opening up. And then when you have sudden deluges of lots of precipitation, is that what causes the slippage on those ketonic plate?
Well, let's talk about that a minute, and let me answer your question by going out to what's happening in Oklahoma, where we have record numbers of small quakes that we've never had before. And the science is pretty solid on this at this point. It looks like it's all because of the injection of wastewater from the fracking process into these existing small faults that have been there for eons and have activated them. But it's all small faults. The major faults...
These are small surface quakes.
Small, well, the quakes come from under the surface.
But I mean...
They're about 3 to 10 kilometers.
So which is relatively shallow, I guess is what I'm
shallow
trying to say.
Quakes,
shallow
yes.
is a better word.
Small
okay.
magnitude shallow quakes that are derived apparently from the wastewater injection. So the flip side of that is, okay, if that happens, what does the drought do? We could see small magnitude earthquakes that are tied to drought factors. I would not be concerned with that, John. My biggest concern is what we've notified Governor Brown's office in California of, which is the very high correlation that the big one is coming, and we've actually given him the years that it's going to happen based on a very strong correlation with solar hibernations.
What are the years?
2017 to 2038. So
the Super Bowl's there this year.
Well, that's
San Francisco. I better not go.
That's 2016.
I know.
2017 to 2038.
What's that, John? Go ahead.
That just makes me want to go out and see that movie again, San Andreas.
Right, the recent movie with The Rock.
Yeah. Hey, I have only one comment left, and that is I sent Christopher an email, and wherein this liberal Naomi Klein.
I was going to ask him about her. I'm glad you brought that up. I was going to ask him about Naomi Klein. Go ahead, Doug.
Yeah, she admitted that the whole global warming, climate change narrative really has been about destroying capitalism.
Fundraising, right, John?
That's correct. Her major, her book,
yeah, first,
by the way,
tell us who is Naomi Klein.
Well, she's a journalist.
Okay.
She has no background in climatology or science.
Right.
She's
basically
a journalist, socialist journalist, who has put out the book, This Changes Everything. And I have been competing, more or less, with her to be in the number one spot on Amazon.com for months.
And now you are?
I knocked her off the first week in August. I think she's back up there today in number one. These change hourly, by the way, the rating, book ratings do. But finally knocked her off the top slot for a whole week, the first week in August. But her book is truly a Bible of what's wrong with our country right now in terms of climate science. Because what it does, and John, you're absolutely right, it advocates getting rid of the free market system to save the planet.
Well, that's a great solution, isn't it, John?
Yep.
That'll never work.
All right. Hey, John, thanks for that email. Please keep them coming. All right. And we'll be back shortly with more of the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. Mike McBath, John L. Casey, and me, Christopher Hart, and you, if you want to give us a call like John did, please don't go away. Welcome back to the show, folks, or welcome to the show if you're just now able to join us. We appreciate you being out there. You are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show, coming to you live on FM 105.5 and AM 660 The Answer. And once again, we are indeed coming to you live from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. Don't forget, for the very best in mercury free dental care, call my dentist, Dr. James E. Hardy, at 407-678-3399. Don't forget to ask him about his great book, Mercury Free. It appears to be a little bit drier out there on the roads tonight, so if you're out there, nonetheless, enjoy the dry weather, but keep us tuned in on the radio. I am Christopher Hart, along with Mike McBath. We are joined in the studio this afternoon by John L. Casey, and I guess I should start saying, formerly of the Space and Science Research Corporation, congratulations are in store, are due for John L. Casey and the Research Corp, because you guys accomplished what you set out to do, and that is bring attention to the real cause of climate variations and where our climate is going from here. And the real cause is the cycles that occur naturally on the sun and the Earth's interaction with that. And we are going to get a whole lot colder going on from here. Is that pretty much it?
Absolutely right. The current warming brought on, and again, it's not above the average, but the current warming we do have brings us to the edge of a precipice, an 18-year-long precipice, where we've had no effective growth in global temperature, and we're about to fall off that with the end of El Nino sometime next year. That will be the last gasp of the sun in heating up the ocean and the planet before the 15-year-long drop into the bottom begins.
So we got about another year, year and a half of some moderate weather, and then the real cooling starts.
We should enjoy the warmth we have, because the long-term picture in the major cycles suggests that the human species will not see this kind of warm temperature again for hundreds, perhaps thousands of years.
Wow. And this is in no way controllable, caused by, or has anything to do with human activity, correct?
It is correct to say that mankind's influence is insignificant.
Insignificant, and we are not going to be able to stop it.
That's correct. We were such a very minuscule part of the warming. We're going to be a minuscule to insignificant part of the cold air that's coming.
Okay, now, most of you folks out there know, if you've been listening to the show, that John started the Space and Science Research Corporation to work with scientists around the world to put together reports and press releases and other documents to alert governments, other scientists, and lay people as to what is actually going on, the lie of the global warming movement, the green movement, and the significant risks that we face as we enter this cold period.
And that, of course, was all documented in my original book, Cold Sun, which was recast, reorganized, and retitled Dark Winter with a new publisher. Dark Winter became the top-selling climate book on Amazon.com in the first week of this month. I'm very pleased to see, and I want to personally thank all the very many supporters I have around the world, and certainly here in Florida, who made Dark Winter a success, made the documentary a success, where millions have seen this documentary about the book.
On Newsmax.
On Newsmax TV and DirecTV and Dish Network. So my thanks to all those who helped the SSRC achieve its mission. I didn't really know whether we would ever do that back in the early days of 07 and 08. We were under such a withering attack by the forces pushing man-made global warming. I really didn't know if we're going to make it. So it's been an absolute pleasure working with the hundreds and thousands of people here in the state and throughout the U.S. and worldwide who've been supporting the effort of the SSRC all along, keeping the fuel in the fire for us and the scientists that I've worked with, helping encourage us. We had donors along the way that literally kept the lights on. And certainly now with the success of Dark Winter and all that's happened, people are now free to talk about it. Scientists are coming out and talking about it. Even politicians, some of the presidential candidates, are talking about the hoax, the fraud of man-made global warming.
And I want to kind of steer sort of in that direction. But fear not, John L. is not going away. He's not going to stop, you know, speaking out. He's going to speak out actually even more.
That's right.
And not just about climate change, but about the space program and other things that he is passionate about. And he's starting a new organization. It's a new corporation called Veritens. Is that what?
That's it.
And spell that, please, for our
V-E-R-I-T-E-N-S-E. It comes from two words, Latin root, veritas, meaning true, and science. So truth and science is what I've always been about, and I'm going to continue that with Veritens as a one-man consulting operation, but certainly a more vocal person than I was for the last 8 years.
And you'll have until tomorrow at 5 to get the final climate status report from the Space and Science Research Corporation's website, spaceandscience.net. It's $8.95 for the report, and it's worth every penny. And I know I'm going to cherish my report because it's going to be the last one. And if you really want to see good science and the results of good scientific work, get your hands on one of these reports. This is what good science produces, not the nonsense that we see in the media. At spaceandscience.net, and you can get the Global Climate Status Report up until 5 o'clock tomorrow. Now, the book, Dark Winter, obviously is going to continue to be available, And John will be putting up a new website where you'll be able to get an autographed copy of that book. But the climate status report will not. So please get one by 5 o'clock tomorrow, and you'll be glad you did. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, Chris, when he was talking about Dark Winter, actually, John, that could be the name of your movie. That has a ring to it, you know, Dark Winter, and, you know, Chris and me, the movie stars, and yeah. You could put forth your science and then incorporate it into an action
film. You want
to
attract people into the theaters, not scare them away,
that's
right?
That wasn't who you were thinking about being your stars.
No, how about we pick out some people who would play us
that's
in the
exactly
movie?
Right, that's exactly right. I like the title, too, A Dark Winter. Yeah, I mean, you know, that certainly generates thought.
Well, let's talk about what that means. Okay, obviously it means cold weather is coming, but let's think a little bit more what that means in terms of human history as it's going to play out mm-hmm. during this period. Because you told me something that I wasn't aware of that's very troubling, that something else coincides with the changing cycles of the sun other than changing temperatures, and it has to do with human endeavors, if you might.
Exactly. The work that we've been doing at the Space and Science Research Corporation has been primarily focused on the sun's behavior patterns going back thousands of years and deriving from that a climate change theory called the relational cycle theory, which we have used successfully to establish the best climate prediction record in the U.S. according to independent evaluators. And one of the things we also learned is that these solar hibernations, these deep cold eras that are brought on by these cyclical events, are closely tied and correlated to other things that happen. For example, the war cycle and major earthquakes and major volcanic activity. And when you combine all of these things and then you go back and look at all the history books that pertain to these various eras, you see that it's truly a dark situation, a dark scenario that could be unfolding here.
You used the phrase just real quickly there. You said war cycles. What do you mean war? That's W-A-R. War cycles. So you're not. This is not a scientific or a scientific phrase referring to some astronomical thing. You're talking about fighting wars, correct?
That's correct. And what do people typically fight for? Well, other than the lunacy of the leaders that cause unnecessary warfare, we still see fundamentals driving warfare. Starvation is one
assets.
Of the major fundamentals.
You want to buy people's minerals. You want to get their food. You want to, right.
Well, so, when you have a populace that's revolting because they don't have enough food, that tends politicians to cause to go to war to divert attention away from their misery and perhaps to get the food from someone else.
So the likelihood of wars and broader and more severe wars go up as the temperature goes down. Is that what you're saying?
There's a very strong correlation. If we go back and look at all these cold periods, these solar hibernations, we see we have periods of intense warfare at the same time.
All right. We'll go ahead and take the break. When we come back, I want to ask John L. his opinion about the deal we just made with Iran to prevent such things as he just talked about. So we'll see if he thinks that it will do just that. So please don't go away. You are listening to The American Adversaries. John L. Casey is with us today as he's making a big transition in his life so he can do a whole lot more with it. We'll be right back. All right, and we're back. And we got the baddest scientist in town. It's part of our show. His name's John L. Casey, and he's the author of the book Dark Winter, which you can find at Amazon.com. Don't forget to catch his documentaries on Newsmax and DirecTV and Dish Network. And 407-774-8255 is our number. We were just talking about the political and international consequences of a planet going into a deep freeze, so to speak. And obviously, food and other commodities will become harder and harder to come by. Energy will become more and more expensive to get. And governments will become more and more jeopardized in terms of being able to maintain the control of their populations. Having said all of that, we just signed this deal with Iran. Looks like it's going to go into effect. First of all, what's your impression of the deal itself, John L.?
Disaster. I really don't see anything other than very bad news coming out of the deal. the fundamental premise that we can trust the Iranians not only to abide by the deal, but now we've given them authority to do their own inspections?
Well,
I mean, how lunatic is this deal?
Just disgusting.
And we've
already promised to tell the truth.
Oh, yeah.
And we've already told them and agreed to the fact that anything they classify as a military facility, we won't inspect anyway. Even when we did get permission after 24 days to go inspect something that's probably already getting covered up. So this has so many fundamental flaws to a believable, realistic, pragmatic deal that it can only result in disaster for those who are relying on it to give us greater security in the future.
And in fact, it makes it pretty easy for Iran to go ahead and develop a nuclear weapon, does it not?
Well, actually, it guarantees it, does it not? Yeah. The practice of them going forward anyway has not been stalled, despite what we've been told by this administration. We should expect that their military operations will continue unabated, and their other areas that we will inspect will be a facade for the real deal. And the real deal, as far as they're concerned, is to be a nuclear power. Once you're a nuclear power on this planet, then you can change everyone's life. And
you know,
that's
the
what they're
thing
after.
I saw today is people forget, too, you know, that country is loaded in minerals. Japan was over there today trying to work on deals because, you know, what do they want? They want energy,
mm-hmm,
and they want minerals.
Metals,
they have all,
yeah,
forms of minerals over there that a lot of countries don't have. And the reality is we give them $150 billion. They estimate when they start dumping oil, they could generate as much as another $185 billion
a year.
You know, could you imagine what we're doing to that economy, to an enemy of ours who's going to put the money into defeating us as quick and as fast as possible?
Well, I think Donald Trump's right on this. We've given away the farm. We gave them everything they wanted and got nothing in return. That's not a deal.
Speaking of Trump, which of the Republican candidates impresses you the most that they would be able to most effectively deal with the situation as it's developing, according to the climate change?
Well, I will tell you without question, Senator Cruz has been head and shoulders above everyone else on this debate of the GOP candidates, because he was stating his position before the debates began, long before. And so I have a lot of respect for him. He's the one of the chairmen of the new Senate Science Committees that oversees climate. I think he's going to be very effective in that position. And he's no nonsense. He's a great debater. He's very factually oriented. Mm-hmm. That's what I really like about him. The other one that impresses me among the GOP candidates is Dr. Ben Carson. He's soft-spoken. He's a great person, no question about it. But if you listen to how he thinks, this is the kind of guy that has the kind of mind that can deal with any problem that's thrown at him. And that, to me, is what a president needs to have at his core capabilities. He needs to be able to respond to any situation, because you do get everything thrown at you when you're president.
Well, you mentioned Trump. What do you think about him?
I will tell you that my experience with the Ross Perot campaign, where I was the lead on national space policy for his campaign, is very similar. When Perot was running against George H.W. Bush and Bill Clinton, I remember vividly the attempts that each of them, or their visits from each of them here in Central Florida. Bill Clinton came through, and he spoke down at Churchview Station.
Right.
And he had all his local Democratic friends and congressmen standing on the rostrum on the bleachers behind him. So from the camera angle, it looked like a lot of people were there. But there was very little, if anyone, on the other side of the camera. It was vacant. It was a desert. Hardly anyone came to hear Bill Clinton speak. When George H.W. Bush came through town, bigger group, better organized. But when Ross Perot came to town, they had to get the fairgrounds.
Wow.
Because there were so many thousands of people.
Yeah.
And I just heard in a news conference from Donald Trump yesterday, he was talking about, and he was speaking in, I think it was New Hampshire, But he was speaking about his next trip, which was going to be in, I think, Alabama. And they were planning on 100 or 200, and then it was 1,000 to 2,000, and now it could be 35,000 coming to hear him speak. This is eerily similar to the Ross Perot campaign.
Yeah, they started out with a hotel ballroom, and then I think they had to go to like a civic center, and now they're going to the football stadium.
The Ross Perot campaign collapsed, and I left early on after I realized what was happening. And it could happen again with Trump. And I hope he doesn't fall into the same trap, because he's saying and doing a lot of things that are waking up the party.
What was the trap?
The trap was you have to be more than a flash in the pan. You have to be more than grand statements, hitting the button that everyone has and needs to be hit. You got to follow up with detail, assuring practices and plans.
Which he seems to be doing.
That's going to be the difference between the two campaigns, the Perot campaign and the Trump campaign.
Okay.
And maybe a few billion dollars. hoping he's doing that.
Which is good for Trump. That's on the positive
Perot
side.
Perot was a billionaire. He didn't need any money either.
Yeah. But I'd rather have 10 to 1.
Yeah, well, and of course, you got different, slightly different personalities.
No, well, day and night personalities.
But if he can make that transition, he'll be a viable candidate. He won't be a repeat of Ross Perot.
Okay. All right. We're speaking with John L. Casey. We'll go ahead and take another break. When we come back, this is a hard break. Can't adjust it. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. If you would like to join us, the number is 407-774-8255. And we got a new contestant for our spaghetti eating contest we're going to tell you about. That's right. We rounded up a new contestant last night. What is it, 4 now, Mike?
We're up to 4. I mean, this is going to be a big party, a big celebration, so I'm looking forward to this because, we got Big Reggie. He threw down the gauntlet. So, those who think they compete, the number to call. He's waiting for you.
We'll be right back. All right. I don't think any one of us would mind a bit. All right. Welcome back to the show, folks. That's right. You got the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show heading into the final half hour of tonight's show. Thanks for being with us. 407-774-8255 is the number. I am Christopher Hart. Joining me today, of course, is the chairman of the board, Mike McBath, our resident scientist, John L. Casey, and the president of the local NFL Former Players Union, Don Ratliff, has joined us in the studio. Don, thanks for being with us this afternoon.
Thanks, Chris. I'm glad to be here.
Well, we appreciate you being here on the show. Just before we went to the break, we were talking about our spaghetti eating contest. We found a new contestant at the meeting last night. One of the fellas from the Wounded Officers Initiative has taken up the challenge.
What I liked was how fired up he was. And, Reggie threw the gauntlet down last night. And I said, Reggie, maybe throw your drink down, not the gauntlet. But, the reality of it is we got the Pred Heads. The Pred Heads is an organization of about 80 people, and they're sending their top man over to take Reggie on. Then we also have, they're sending maybe a woman over to take him on, and this is in the spaghetti eating contest.
Yeah.
And now with the fellow from the police officers, those guys are really fighting. And I couldn't believe it. Him and Reggie and them were head-to-head. So this is a big-time challenge.
Hey, Mike, you remember, Reggie faltered under the steak eating contest.
We've discussed that. Remember that, Don?
Were you there that day?
Oh, you bet.
Wasn't that
there was the potatoes that threw him. He couldn't handle the potatoes.
Wasn't that a 64-ounce steak? It was just
64 ounces, and I think he ate about 10.
Yeah. And so we're going to start him off with, he wants to start off with a pound of spaghetti for everybody.
That's weight pound.
Wait till you see it blow up. And then he wants 2 meatballs. And I'm thinking of carrying those little hot red peppers, when he gets in near the end.
See,
Reggie, look over there.
You dirty dog. By the way, folks.
They blow up in your stomach, not in your mouth.
That's right. So that's going to be September the 28th. That's a Monday. Put it on your calendar, please, at Cafe Positano. And they're already taking and getting reservations. So you might want to go ahead and make yours if you want to make a reservation. You can call them at 407-774-8080. That's Cafe Positano.
And Ken has an entry.
Yeah, the Shriners. That's right.
That's right. The Shriners are going to be out there with their best man putting his best mouth forward, I guess. We'll find out what he's putting forward.
Right.
So should be a lot of fun. But again, it's great having Don here. Don has done a sensational job here for the Central Florida, players. And this is we all have to say we all take pride in this, the players, the officers, everybody associated with it, because I actually think we are building one of the greatest sports organizations, if not the best in the city.
Well,
and I think I'll let Don go on and just talk about
some. Well, I want to do that, but I got a caller on the line. I want to take that. And
okay.
I have noticed that the meetings seem to be a lot better organized since Don took it over, but we'll get to that here in just a minute.
Much more intellectual.
That's right. Let's go first to Dave. Dave, thank you for calling and holding on the line for us.
Not a problem. I wanted to call to say about, I guess 8 months ago, you guys put a call out to get John's book. And, you know, I went ahead and got it and read it, and it's really a good factual piece of material that has really helped me in some of my argumentative issues with my more politically to the left friends, because they really don't have a lot of good science behind what they believe or how they believe. It's more or less hyperbole rather than good factual information. And the book is really good. I would advise it to anybody who really needs something to base, you know, a good argument on so that they can actually prove their point.
The book Dave is talking about is called Dark Winter, subtitled How the Sun is Causing a 30-Year Cold Spell. Of course, written by John L. Casey. And you're absolutely right, Dave, is it arms you with factual information and the arguments that you can use against people who are uninformed on this subject. And it's not a big book. I mean, what is it, about
164
pages. So, you know, anybody can read this. And it's written, even though it is scientific matter, it's written in a fashion where anybody can read it and understand it. Matter of fact, Don, you said you've read the book.
I have. I touched base on it. I'm right in the middle of another Avoiding Disaster, which dealt with all the interrogations and everything that's going on right now.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if I agree 100% with everything you're saying, but I understand.
You will when you finish it.
We'll talk to you when it's over here today.
Well, Dave, I want to thank you for getting the book and reading it and your testimonial about it, and just keep preaching it, man. And you'll be able to once again have some of your friends be able to get the book too in the future.
Yeah, absolutely, or pass it on when you get it, because that's what I'm going to do. I have to send it to a friend of mine who's an ultra liberal who basically has all of these interesting arguments, especially when I mentioned the fact, oh yeah, you remember all those scientists that went down to Antarctica, and oh that's right, they all got ice bound. Yeah, that's right, and they had to send somebody to go rescue them because they're trying to prove global warming.
Yeah.
Now, they agree with the sunspot theories with usually no problem, but it's the rest of it. They figure man does more of it than sunspots do, and how mistaken is that?
Yeah, they're already predisposed to believe that human beings are responsible. Hey, Dave, I want to thank you for calling, and especially want to thank you for being out there. And can we count on you being at the spaghetti eating contest to cheer one of the contestants on?
Well, I'd like to eat some spaghetti, too.
Well, you can. Absolutely,
there's
man.
There's going to be plenty left over for you, Dave.
Yeah.
That's great.
Hey, Dave, have you gotten any Roxy Pacifics yet?
No, I have not.
Oh, I tell you, do you know what it is?
I believe it said it's a kelp-based
antibacterial
you can put on your sunburns and your cuts, and it helps in healing, things like that.
You're absolutely right. I call it Miracle-Gro for your skin. So stay on the line and give Nick your information, your address, and the Roxys will be happy to send you a bottle. And if you'll give him your email address, if you have one, I'll send you a copy of our most recent intel brief. All right?
That sounds great.
All right. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Dave.
The call. Absolutely. We do hope to see you folks at our spaghetti eating contest. Once again, that'll be September the 28th. Now, Don, though, you got an event coming up that sounds like a lot of fun.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Chris, we've been working this our second year. We're working with the Coalition for the Homeless and ALS, Deborah's Journey. That we put together a group where all the chapters of the NFL Players Association in Florida compete against each other.
Oh.
And then we bring in sponsors to play with them.
Is this a golf tournament?
Absolutely not. It's a bowling tournament.
Oh, Chris, let's get with it, buddy. We do everything.
we lay the balls down, Chris. We do the whole thing. And we're going to have it at King's Bowl, right on the I-Drive, right below the big Ferris wheel.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And
I've not been there, but I understand it's a beautiful bowling alley.
Oh, it's gorgeous. It's
absolutely beautiful.
24 lanes. It's like a nightclub. And we're going to be there all day on Saturday the 29th. And I'll tell you, it's going to be, we have 24 players coming in from different teams throughout the Florida area. We've got guys like Johnny Rembert, who's all-pro middle linebacker for the Patriots, played in the Super Bowl. We got Paul Langford, who played in the Killer Bees in Miami. We got Jim the Crash Jensen coming up from Miami. Don Nottingham from the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah. And,
you know, we've got a lot of great guys coming in. And Fred Stokes, who was an all-pro defensive end for the Redskins and played in the Super Bowl. We've got a lot of great guys coming in. And they're all coming to help to support the charities. And we're going to have a heck of a good time. And you know what? Anybody that comes can come for free. We're not charging anybody. We're going to ask for a donation at the door because we want to support our charities and we want to benefit the charities. But there's no cost involved. Just come.
Can people come to play?
Well, you can, but the sponsors are playing with our players. So if you want to step up, yes, you can sponsor and be a part of that, and we still got some spots available.
How can people get them?
Well, the best thing to do is go to the website, Florida Players Bowl, and all the information is on that website.
Don, do you spell out Florida?
No, it's Florida. Yes, yeah, I spell out Florida.
Okay, Florida Players.
Florida Players Bowl.
B-O-W. Okay, Florida Players Bowl.
Right.
And you have some sponsorships available left, but plus you want people to just come out and watch and have some fun.
Oh, yeah, and we've got, you know, the food and drink will be there. We've got VIPs sections set up for all the players will be in the VIP section. You get to meet them, rub shoulders, bring a football, get them to sign it.
Oh, cool.
They'll do all that stuff. And then we're going to have, and we have a live auction also there, and we've got things like a Tom Brady signed jersey, we've got a helmet signed by Gale Sayers and Walter Payton from the Bears.
Wait, a helmet, a Chicago Bears helmet?
Yes.
Signed by Walter Payton and
Gale Sayers.
Chris,
that's a pretty rare item.
Absolutely, absolutely. There's some great things.
Two of the greatest running backs in football history,
right,
if you ask me.
Right, and we've got many things like that. I mean, we've got Yankee things. We got collages from the Giants, the Bears, the Eagles.
These have all been donated for the charities.
Right, and we tried to get some from Buffalo, but we couldn't find any.
I got you a snowball, which I'm bringing in the freezer. Autographed by Jack Kemp.
I hear you. I take it you guys are going to be bowling.
Well, you know, unfortunately, I was there last year, and it was a tremendous...
Oh, you're going to be in Chicago.
Yeah, but it was a tremendous event. And I think the other thing Don knows, not only were these fellows that are participating great athletes, but they're also the type you can engage in conversation. In other words, you know, there's no stuffiness to them. As I say, one great thing about retired players, the edge has been removed. Mm-hmm. And it's a case that with your children or whatever, it just really gives you an opportunity to ask about your favorite team. And I don't know how anybody could miss not going out there, and particularly with the auction items that are available.
Oh, I tell you
what. I mean, this is absolutely terrific.
Oh,
I would love to have
and
that
you'll
helmet.
See some of the worst, I mean, best bowlers you ever saw.
Not to mention the trips we have. We got trips to all over, donated by Stay Sky, that they donated trips to the Bahamas and other places that, you know, they're going to be outstanding.
That's fantastic. And this is the 29th.
It's 29th.
What time does it start?
It starts at 11 o'clock.
11 a.m.
And it'll probably run until 3 o'clock.
Okay, and that's at King's Bowling.
King's Bowl, yeah.
King's Bowl on I-Drive.
On I-Drive.
Right
under the Ferris wheel.
Yeah.
You can jump off the Ferris wheel and walk right in.
Cool. And once again, no charge to get in, but they would love to have you make a donation at the door, plus participate in these auctions. I mean, this is great stuff. Great sports memorabilia, trips, cruises.
Absolutely. Everybody that comes, we're gonna have all the players sign a number of footballs so you can get the players to sign your ball and put that in the auction. But we've got all sorts of things in our auction. We're very excited about what we've
And once again, this is to benefit the Coalition for the Homeless. and Deborah's Journey.
Absolutely.
And, which is to benefit research against ALS.
That and
support her and her journey.
Yeah, well, and Walter Payton, Walter Briggs is one of our members, and he played for the quarterback for the Jets. His wife has ALS. So
right, Deborah.
We have supported Deborah, and their purpose is not just for her, although part of it goes to that. It goes to everybody that has, just for information and to find out more what they can do.
Right. So. All right. Once again, it's going to be a great event for great causes, and we need a great big old crowd to come out and support them. And that's going to be a week from Saturday, the 29th, at King's Bowl on I Drive, down there by the Orlando Eye, I think they call that,
right,
the Ferris wheel. 11 a.m. in the morning, but you don't have to be there at 11 a.m., but that's when it'll start.
Anytime.
And going to be a whole bunch of great NFL players down there. And once again, this is for a great cause. And you can go to floridaplayersbowl.com if you want to be a sponsor. They still have a couple of openings. That's floridaplayersbowl.com. Okay, we'll continue the conversation when we come right back with more of the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show. Folks, welcome back to the show. 407-774-8255 is the number. We're joined in the studio by John L. Casey tonight. Don't forget, folks, you'll have until tomorrow at 5 o'clock to get their final global climate status report. And all you have to do is go to spaceandscience.net to get that report. It's $8.95, worth every penny. Please go there and get it before 5 o'clock tomorrow. Also, we have in the studio with us Don Ratliff. And Don is a former NFL player. He also played for the Florida Blazers.
That's where I ran into Don.
Yeah.
You know, he was one of the toughest defensive ends I've ever run across.
Who was the quarter? The quarterback was
wasn't
Reggie somebody?
No, it was Subway Bob, and he played with the Jets.
Yeah, right.
Bob. And
Bob,
what the heck was his last name?
Played for Virginia.
I know, but we
Bob
always
Davis.
Call, Bob, yeah, Bob okay. Davis, because remember there was Joe Namath, right? Broadway Joe. Well, he was Broadway Joe's backup. So we called him Subway Bob because we had to have somebody with some notoriety. And we had, as Don will tell you, it was like a cast of characters.
Oh, okay.
And plus, we learned bankruptcy early because what happened is we had 5-6 games to go before the end and they ran out of money. And foolishly, we continued to play. But we did make it to the final bowl game. And we were down, I think it was 22-0. And we came back and we lost 22-21. So never give up.
Real quick, and then I want to get back to Don, but we had a caller off the air, John L., call and wonder, can they order the climate status report without a computer?
No. The company shut down. The post office box is shut down. There's no way to get anything after 5 p.m. tomorrow. And, in fact, if they mailed something today, it would be returned.
Okay. I'm sorry about that caller, but please, if you know someone with a computer, maybe they can help you out.
And that's why we put the announcement out on August the 10th and the press release on August the 10th. For those that were following us, we tried to notify everyone we could. And, of course, a lot of websites picked it up and announced it as well.
Okay.
So
the website for now until 5 o'clock tomorrow is spaceandscience.net. So, okay. All right, Don, the bowling tournament, Saturday, August the 29th at 11 a.m. at King's Bowl, and it's to benefit the Coalition for the Homeless and the research into ALS and Deborah's Journey. And once again, people can come out free. You said you've got a couple of sponsorships openings, but who do you have now as sponsors already?
Well, we're real excited. We've had a lot of great participation from our sponsors. Orlando Health has been with us for the last 2 years, and they're a big supporter not only of what we do for our charity work, and we do a lot of charity work, but also they support us with physicals and helping with the health of our players, not only now, but matter of fact, we just had about 50 guys go through a health screening at Orlando Health, and as a result of that, I personally was sent to an orthopedic surgeon. He said, I looked at my hips. I've had a lot of replacement parts, Chris. These are not all originals. I've got a couple of new parts. And he said, we can improve on what you've got and what you've done. And I've been in rehab. They sent me to rehab, and it really has worked. So we're real excited about what we're doing for our players, too. That's a goal we have, and that's something that Mike started when he was president here. He did it. I got to tell you, following Mike is like, you know, it's a tough thing as a president, because he's done so much for our players over extended benefits, golf benefits, so many additional things. And we're real excited about what we've built here and what we're building and continue to build. So we're excited about it.
Both you gentlemen have done an excellent job.
Well, I mean, it's just been as Don knows, this is a great effort. And this bowling tournament, I attribute it all just about to Don, because he's done worked his you-know-what off to get this thing off the ground. And I think it's exciting, because I expect to be a real nice crowd out there. And, again, we both know how congenial these players are. And I think sometimes people think, oh, I walk into a building and sort of hands off. I shouldn't. No, engage them. I'm a Penn Stater. I'll bet you there'll be five or six Penn Staters there. There'll be guys from Florida, University of Florida, guys from Florida State, all the
sure.
bigs. There'll be one guy from Maryland.
At least one terrible.
No. I brought in a designated bowler from Maryland.
Oh, right. So Orlando Health, who else?
We have SeaWorld, Universal. We've got Wyndham Hotels.
And then you just said a bank a minute ago, didn't you?
Yeah. Wells Fargo.
Wells Fargo, okay.
Stay Sky Hotels, Resorts. I mean, they're putting up our players. We've got Victory Cruises, we've done cruises with them on numerous times. So we've got a lot of participants at different levels. Matter of fact, even Integrity Golf is supporting us, and we have a partnership with them.
With my tour cards,
right. Yeah. So we've got a whole lot of people that are a part of it, and that's what makes something great. You know.
All right, well, one last question for you, Don. And
by the way, let me throw one.
Yeah.
There is a person we've dealt with who has come to me with a new design for a helmet and wants to talk about it. He's going to bring the helmet up. It is a helmet that has a face mask that is like a bumper, and it retracts, so it
right.
absorbs the blow and has sensors on it so that you can test what kind of hits you're taking.
Right.
So we may be able to eventually attack the whole thing with concussions, and this may be a step in the right direction.
That's amazing. Real quick, I've often thought that perhaps the NFL could use sort of the NASCAR soft wall technology
yeah.
in the helmets. I've thought that, you know, all the padding's on the inside of the helmet. I thought about why not put some
balloon type padding, you know, on top of the outside too to help. Yeah.
That's what I was thinking. Some hard foam rubber padding on the outside of the helmet, so it still looks like a hard shell helmet. And you can put the logo on it and everything,
right.
But that it would begin to absorb the energy from the outside of the helmet, not transfer it to the inside.
I think they tried that inside the helmet, and the problem was that those things blew out.
Yeah,
and I can tell you, I blew out a couple of them myself. They didn't work.
Okay,
one other thing too on helmets, you're also competing against the current manufacturer, so they're not going to certainly help anybody else get into the field, right?
Right. Right.
Exactly. Don't think so.
All right. Well, listen, folks, you can meet Don. You can see Don bowl if you want to be a sponsor. You can bowl along with Don and the other NFL players a week from Saturday, the 29th. At King's Bowl on International Drive at 11 a.m. And if you want to be a sponsor, go to floridaplayersbowl.com and you can sign up there. But nonetheless, come on out, and you're going to have a great time bowling. It's going to be a lot of fun. And don't forget the sports and the other items that will be memorabilia and the other items that will be up for auction. I would love to have that helmet with Gale Sayers and Walter Payton's autograph on it.
Well, you can. Get there.
Yeah.
Bring your wallet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or you could submit a bid from right here to Don.
My wallet
right now.
Yeah. My wallet is anemic, all right? So I'm sure I'm going to be outbid on that thing. But, Don, thanks for being with us, and great job you guys
Chris,
are doing.
I appreciate being here, and I appreciate being with Mike. Mike set a great example for our trap there, and we're trying to live up to that.
Well, everybody's doing a good job out there, so we're excited. Everybody's pumped up.
You guys, big
event.
You guys are a huge asset to our community. You don't get enough credit for it, so we appreciate you being here and doing what you're doing. And I look forward to having you back.
Okay, I'll do that.
And come to our spaghetti eating contest.
Oh, wow. I want to see Reggie explode.
I know. We saw him the last time. That was enough.
By the way, he was throwing those drinks down last night.
No, the gauntlet. I was trying to disguise it by my choice of words. Now, come on.
All right, well, that's going to wrap it up for tonight. John L., thank you very much. Good luck to you.
Thank you, sir.
Don, thank you very much.
You bet. Thank you, Chris.
All right, thanks. And Mike, we'll see
you
next week.
Again. Yep.
All right. Night, everybody.
Action. FM 105.5 AM 660. The Answer. WORL. Altamont Springs. Orlando.